This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Allahumma la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal 'alimul hakim. Allahumma 'allimna ma yanfa'una wa anfa'na bima 'allamtana wa zidna 'ilma. Ya Rabbil Alameen, Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqa wa zukna tiba'a wa arina al-baatila baatila wa zukna istinaba. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So, I wasn't planning on talking about Pakistan, and it's Pakistan, not Pakistan. So I'm not going to do that, so I'm not going to talk about it. Yes, it is true, I was there during the election. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to add anything to that. Yeah, I mean, we're talking about hope, so let's just leave Pakistan out of it, right? So, Pakistanis get that joke. That's all I'm going to say. All right, Bismillah. So, the last 4 months, I would imagine, have been transformative months for anyone with even the tiniest amount of faith. Because of what is happening in Gaza and obviously Palestine at large, and it's kind of weird to even say what's been happening in the last 4 months, because we know it's not just 4 months old. We know it's been happening for decades and decades and decades. But it's the last 4 months that I think a lot of people have been awakened, where I think it's one of the first times in history that we've actually seen these images directly in our hands, right? So what's been happening in Palestine is not old, right? But it's possibly the first time in history that we are now witnessing directly the atrocities that are being committed, right? And still, we're not seeing all of it. We're still seeing actually very little of what is actually happening there. So for anyone even with the tiniest amount of iman, tiniest amount of faith, because to feel for our brothers and sisters the concept of empathy, the brotherhood and sister, is part of our iman, it's part of our faith. It's part of what completes our faith. In the hadith, I'm sure we all know and we learn as children, that لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يُحِبَّ لِأَخِيهِ مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِهِ, that none of you truly believe until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. That this hadith is really about empathy. It's about, you know, do we feel, do we want for our brothers and sisters what we want for ourselves? Do we feel what they're feeling, or do we try to understand what they're going through? And so that's why I said, even a person who has the tiniest amount of faith, iman, how can these last 4 months not be transformative for them? And so what has happened and what's going on in our lives? I've been going through this weird transformative experience of my own, which kind of predates the 4 months. I actually lost both my parents very close to one another about 6 months ago or so. And so that kind of started everything, and then right after, you know, with what's happening in Gaza, I had a lot of time to like reflect upon my life until this moment and how I view my life and how I look at the world. And one of the things that, you know, I've always talked about, and we always talk about making the Quran like front and center in your life, right? So, and one of the things that I've often talked about is like our worldview. Like, where does our worldview come from? Some people, when it comes to their relationship with the Quran, they have a worldview and they try to impose it onto the Quran. They try to make the Quran fit their worldview. Right? So this is how I understand the world, this is right and wrong for me, this is what's moral and immoral, and then it's like, okay, I happen to be Muslim, and then I believe in the Quran, and so, like, how can I make the Quran fit? Right? Like, how do I make it fit? And yet, there are others whose worldview comes from the Quran. So the aslan, the default, the foundation of their sense of right and wrong, their morality, your sense of good and evil, the sense of a just and what is unjust comes from the Quran. The sense of, you know, this is something which is good and this is something which is bad, it comes from the Quran. And I think one of the things that's happened in these last 4 months is that more and more we've begun to turn to the Quran. Because oftentimes, you know, and I'm actually even, sometimes do that Pakistan, but one of the things that I saw happen in Pakistan, you know, Pakistan, we know, was colonized, right? Like, so the Indian subcontinent was colonized, and so, you know, the people, and I hate to, like, I'm not trying to talk bad about, like, Pakistan and India, but, you know, sometimes you find people in Pakistan and India have kind of like this inferiority complex, where, you know, this mentality of, you know, there's the colonizer who is somehow better, right? And so oftentimes it was drilled into people that, you know, the West came, like the Brits came, and they brought civilization and morality and right and wrong and justice and so on and so forth. And so they, obviously the colonizer looks at those that they're colonizing, they call them savages and this and that, whatever. Like, we are a civilized people, and this is how we teach you how to be civilized. And so, when it comes to the deen, sometimes in Pakistan, people look at the deen and they're like, you know, this is something which is backward and it doesn't really fit in the modern civilized world. And then now, even people in Pakistan, they're looking at, once again, like, we're all witnessing what's happening in Gaza and how these supposedly civilized people are watching a genocide take place, watching children and babies being maimed and brutalized and killed and murdered and slaughtered, and this, the Western world is silent, right? And so that facade of, you know, civility and morality is falling for people. And so now they're beginning to go back to the tradition and say, well, we had the deen all along, right? And so where is my sense of, like, we thought our sense of morality would come from the West and from these quote-unquote civilized countries and so on and so forth, but, like, it's not there. They had, it was all fake, what they were offering us, and what they, this front that they put up, it's all fake. And so now that, as I said, that facade is kind of falling, and people are now turning back to the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and saying, you know what, because the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not something that is affected by the whims and desires of people. Because people, we're, as human beings, we're fickle. One day we'll look at something and say it's right. The next day, you know, if the wind's blowing the other way, we'll say it's not right. We go with the majority. Like, if the majority agrees that something is right, we'll go, okay, it's right. And it's human nature, it's human psychology, we don't like to stand out. And I can give the example of, like, if you go out to eat, let's say you had a big meal, and then, you know, you're out with your friends, and then at the end of the meal, like, the waiter comes and asks the first person in the group, like, do you want dessert? And the first person's like, no, like, I ate too much, like, I cannot have dessert. And the waiter asks the second person, and the second person says, no, I'm not going to have dessert. Like, I can't, I just ate too much. And the third person, and everybody in the group says, no, like, there's no possible way I can have dessert right now. And then the waiter comes to you, and you know what? You really want some dessert. You're looking forward to this cookie or brownie or whatever it was. Are you really going to be that one person who goes, yeah, you know what? I'm going to have some dessert. Maybe you are, right? Maybe you're a rebel. But the vast majority of people are going to be like, you know what? I'm good. Like, I'll go home and have, I don't know, a bowl of cereal. Y'all do that for dessert? Cereal? Yeah, am I the only one? Yeah? Yeah. So, why? Because human nature is, we don't want to stand out, right? But now, with what's happening in the world, subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us in a position where we understand that our izzah and our honor comes from standing out. And, I usually, while traveling, I tend to wear whatever I want. Like, I don't care what people think. But with the whole Palestine situation, I've been very aware of, like, what people are wearing and all that. And I have, like, this Palestine bracelet that I usually wear. I couldn't find it, but I don't want to wear it today. And then today, walking in the airport, this is in Baltimore, I saw this young girl, this young woman, she's wearing a shirt that said Free Palestine Now, right? And I was like, Allah. Like, we're no longer, like, we're not, like, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this blessing that we are becoming fearless because we understand that we have to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that our morality is not dictated by what the world deems to be right or wrong. It is dictated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so for me, this is an amazing opportunity for us to now go back to the Book of Allah, which I think, alhamdulillah, we're already doing this, but to now go back to the Book of Allah and now understand these verses, because we understand the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is meant for every time, every place, every culture, every society, whether Muslims are in power or Muslims are not in power, whether Muslims are being oppressed or whatever position we're in, the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala applies. And when we begin to recite and contemplate the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we find answers and clarity regarding everything that's happening in our lives. And so what I wanted to do tonight, and I'm actually going to be doing this tomorrow as well, when we talk about some Quranic principles for our life and how to prepare for Ramadan using these Quranic principles, was to take a few verses from the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and look at them in the context of what is happening right now. And so I want to begin, and I know this may seem a little out of nowhere, but you'll see how these verses apply, inshallah. God, if you want to follow along, you pull up the Quran on your phone. This is Surah Al-Imran. I'm going to start with verse number 138. So in verse number 138, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هَذَا بَيَانٌ لِلنَّاسِ وَهُدَى وَمَوْعِظَ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. That this is a bayanun linnas. This is insight, or this is a clear statement for humanity. And this is a huda. It is guidance, and it is a maw'idha. It is instruction or a lesson lilmuttaqin, for those who have taqwa. This is the verse. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says hada, this is, we gotta ask ourselves, what is this? What is Allah referring to? And there's two answers to this. It can either be the previous verse, so Allah has mentioned, we said 138, we're like kind of right in the middle. So either we go to the previous verse and say, what has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just said? That's number one. Or I'll get to number two as well. But number one, we go back to the previous verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ سُنَنْ فَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. That similar situations have come before you as well. So travel throughout the land and see the fate of those who denied or rejected this message. And so if Allah is saying in the following verse, هذا بيان للناس, this is a clear statement for humanity. What is it referring to? Well, firstly, in the previous verse, Allah is saying that what you are seeing, the destruction of people who disobeyed Allah, people who are unjust, people who are oppressors, this is the sunnah. Meaning this is something that has happened over and over and over again in human history. Right? And the Book of Allah has come now to clarify this. هَذَا بَيَانٌ لِلنَّاسِ. So, go travel throughout the land and see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in the past destroyed a people because of their oppression, because of their wrongdoing. You know, in the Quran, Allah mentions Ad and Thamud and so on and so forth. But even in human history, other than that, look at the Roman Empire. Does anyone know how long the Roman Empire lasted? Anyone know? Any ideas? About 1,000 years, right? About 1,000 years. People living during the Roman Empire, at the height of the Roman Empire, never thought it could be destroyed. Right? This is like the world superpower. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us now, here, so it's Al-Imran, and now we're sitting in 2024 listening to this, looking back now at human history and saying, yes, when a nation, when a people became oppressive, when they started wronging and harming other people, then there came a time where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them. So that's one. And then second, hadha refers to the Qur'an as a whole. Meaning if you recite the Qur'an as a whole, you will see that not only in this issue of the destruction of people who become oppressive, but you will see clarity regarding everything that you're seeing around you right now. So everything that's happening in the world right now, look at the Book of Allah and you'll find examples. You'll find clarity regarding what is happening. So we have now the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and clarity regarding these type of people who, as we said, number one, cause corruption and destruction and oppression and so on and so forth. We have three descriptions here for the Book of Allah. So how that we said this refers to the Book of Allah. Number one, it is bayanun linnas. This is a clear statement, or this is an insight to humanity. So once again, Allah is saying, turn to the book of Allah, open the book of Allah, recite the book of Allah, contemplate, you can double the book of Allah, and you'll find clarity. And this is bayanun linnas, for humanity. So this aspect, this characteristic of the Quran is general, it's for everyone. Anyone can open the book of Allah and they'll find clarity. They will see that what is happening in the world, so this is amazing, subhanAllah, you don't have to be Muslim to benefit from that. If you're just paying attention, if you're reciting the book of Allah and you know what it means, then you'll find clarity regarding what is happening around you. And then we have two descriptions that are given, but they are specific. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is huda, it is guidance, and it is a maw'idha. It is like a reminder, a lesson, or an instruction, but not for everyone. Only for those who have taqwa. So there are people, we know, that will open the book of Allah. They will see this clarity regarding what's happening in the world. That you know what, if you're an oppressor, if you are causing corruption on earth, if you are harming other people, you will be destroyed. This is clear in the Quran. Anyone who recites it will see this mentioned in the book of Allah. But does it serve as guidance for you or not? This depends on your taqwa. If you have taqwa, if you have God consciousness, if you are aware, and if you're thinking of Allah, if Allah is important to you in your life, then this will serve as a reminder. It will serve as a maw'idha. It will serve as a clear instruction for you. But this is only for those who have taqwa. And that is why for us, like as Muslims right now, we need to ask ourselves, what is our relationship with the Quran look like? Are we just reciting the book of Allah, and Ramadan's coming up? And we're going to do, inshallah, may Allah allow us to reach the month of Ramadan. We're going to be doing a lot of that. We're going to be either be reciting the book of Allah or we're going to be hearing the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what is our relationship going to be like with the book of Allah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Quran hujjatun laka aw alayk. The Quran is a witness, or the Quran will come as a witness for you, or it will come as a witness against you, meaning on the Day of Judgment. Or another way to look at this is that the Quran will be established as a proof for you, or the Quran will be established as a proof against you on the Day of Judgment. Notice here that there's no third party. There's no neutral party with the Quran. Either we come on the Day of Judgment and the Quran testifies for us, or the Quran comes, may Allah protect us, and it testifies against us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Isra, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. We sent down from the Quran, or we sent the Quran as a healing and as a mercy for the believers. And then Allah says, وَلَا يَزِيدُ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا خَسَارًا. As for the ظَالِمِين, the oppressors, the wrongdoers, the transgressors, it only increases them in loss. So once again, only two parties are here. There are those who the Quran serves as shifa, as a healing. Like whatever you're dealing with in life, whatever you're going through, whatever problems, you open the book of Allah and you contemplate the book of Allah, and it serves as shifa. It serves as a healing, and it serves the purpose of being a mercy for the believers. And then Allah says, but as for the zalimeen, as for the wrongdoers or the oppressors, it only increases them in loss. And this is why Ibn Abbas and others, radiallahu anhum, they said there's no one who sits with the book of Allah and they come back the same. Either they sit with the book of Allah and the book of Allah brings this person closer to Allah, or they sit with the book of Allah and they become more distant from the book of Allah. There's no neutral party with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet said, the Quran will either serve as a proof for you or a proof against you. You know, some of our scholars of the past, they would say something, which the first time I heard it, like, I was like shocked by this statement. They said that there may be a person who memorizes the whole Quran, and they come on the Day of Judgment, but the Quran comes as a witness against this person. And yet there may be another person who has only a few verses of the Qur'an memorized. Very little. But the Qur'an comes as a whole, as a witness for this person. How is that possible? And I know the instinct right now is to say, you know what? I should just not recite the book of Qur'an. Right? I should just not memorize the Qur'an. Right? And because if you know I'm going to be a hafiz of the Quran, memorize the Quran comes as a proof against me, like let me just stay away from that. But what is the meaning of that? The meaning of that is this: the hafiz who memorized the whole Quran, even though he or she, I have time and quality, right, memorized the whole Quran, but they did not act upon the Quran. Right? They did not take heed. It didn't mean anything to them. They heard the book of Allah, and they did not act upon it. And so the whole Quran now comes, even though the person had it memorized, as a proof against them. The other person, who only had a few short surahs, or a few verses of the Quran memorized, the Quran as an entirety comes as a proof for this person, because even though they memorized just a little bit, they acted upon the whole Quran. And so it becomes that it's not about memorization. That's why, and then some people may don't like to hear this, but it's the truth. The vast majority of the companions of the Prophet, by the way, were not hafiz of the Quran. They didn't have the whole Quran memorized. Did y'all know this? The vast majority of them were not cover to cover hafiz of the Quran. Why? Yes. There was a group of companions who was like, they were instructed and their job was to memorize the whole Quran and preserve the Quran, absolutely. But many of the companions, even some of the well-known companions that we know of, didn't have the whole Quran memorized. Why? Because they never took from the Quran that our goal is to memorize it and stop right there. This is why the Salaf, the early scholars, they would say, the shaitan has deceived many Muslims into thinking that memorizing the book of Allah is acting upon the book of Allah. As long as I memorize it, I'm done. I'm good to go. Look, is memorizing the book of Allah a good thing? Absolutely. 100%. But it's not a good thing if we are deceived into thinking my job is done once I have memorized the book of Allah. And so the Quran has been revealed in the ma'unzil al-Quran liyu'mala bihi. The Quran is revealed for us to act upon it. To contemplate the Quran, to apply the Quran in our lives, not that it serves as, I often think subhanAllah, it just serves as almost like a decoration piece. Like it looks good. It makes us look good. So we're getting married, and like how do we kick off the wedding? It doesn't matter what's about to go down. We got like a DJ, auntie's throwing it down on the dance floor, we got like a bunch of haram stuff happening, but you know how we make this look good? Get a qari to recite the Quran. That we have created you in pairs. And mashallah, the beautiful verses about love. And we feel so good. And it's like, we have beautiful recitation, and now this qari, your job's done, the ma'salama. Or, you know, I have two options. Right? Either make the poor guy sit in this super haram gathering after reciting the book of Allah, right? Or, poor guy's gonna just be like, okay, I did my job, party's about to happen right now. Like the disco lights are coming out, like whatever. I don't know, I haven't attended one of these in a long time. Whatever happens, right? Definitely a DJ. DJ, you got disco lights. DJ's out, like I'm just gonna peace out of here because I can't sit here. And so it's like this flourish we put on our lives. And once again, it's good that, look, it's good that the Quran is there. But it's a problem if we believe we're actually doing something by having it as a flourish in our lives. And even subhanAllah, sometimes at weddings, I don't really plan on talking about weddings.
Good, people like weddings.
Yeah. People like talking about weddings and
Jinn.
Yes. So, jinn weddings. That's the next topic, next youth night or whatever, Jinn marriages. All right. I'll have a big turnout for everybody.
Jinn marriages.
So the Quran, as a flourish, right? That we've regulated it as just a flourish in our lives. Like it's like this decoration piece that we turn to, other than when we're actually paying attention to the Quran, when our lives are molded by the message of the Quran. And so with what's happening in the world right now, we're beginning to realize that we need the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll share with you one more scary quote, and I'm going to stop on this topic because I don't want to scare you too much. But one of the early scholars, they said it is possible that a person sits with the Quran, reciting the book of Allah, and the book of Allah is cursing this person. So a person may sit and recite the book of Allah, and the book of Allah is cursing this same person who's reciting the book of Allah. How? How does that happen? It happens as a person is reciting the book of Allah, they're hearing instructions from Allah. They're hearing about what's wrong, and they still continue in the wrong. And so when Allah is condemning these people, this person is that person. Right? So for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ Allah is condemning these people who believe in part of the book and leave part of the book. Right? Like, this fits with my sensibilities in the modern world, so I'll take it. But this other portion, let me go find some other interpretation for it. Alright, let me go see. Maybe there's a scholar out there somewhere who has a different opinion, finds a minority opinion out there somewhere. Okay, now it fits. Right? And so now the person recites this verse, and yet they're doing the very thing that Allah is condemning. Right? And that is why it is important that it's not just about how much do I recite of the book of Allah, or how much do I memorize, which, don't get me wrong, is absolutely an important, integral part of our relationship with the Quran, but it is a problem when it stops there. When our relationship with the Quran just becomes about memorization or just recitation. And this is definitely a warning for all of you and me as well, as the month of Ramadan approaches. Like, how is this Ramadan going to be different than the previous Ramadans? Are we simply going to listen to the book of Allah, recite the book of Allah, and be like, I'm done? Alhamdulillah, good Muslim, I'm good? Or are we going to open up the book of Allah, try to understand its meanings, and try to reflect upon the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and is the book of Allah going to serve as a means of giving us perspective regarding what is happening? The next verse, and I can honestly talk about that one verse for a very long time, but I want to get through at least a few verses tonight, inshallah ta'ala. So after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, hada, this, and the other point of benefit there, by the way, when Allah says hada, this, it means it's something that you have access to. It's not an abstract book, abstract concept. This message from Allah is accessible to all of us. We hold the book of Allah in our hands. We recite it upon our tongues. We contemplate it in our hearts. We have a very intimate relationship with the book of Allah. So when Allah says, هَذَا بَيَانٌ لِلنَّاسِ, meaning this is something that you have access to. So this is the book of Allah. And then now pay attention to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding, as we said, هَذَا بَيَانٌ لِلنَّاسِ, the fact that Allah has destroyed those people who cause corruption and destruction in the land. What about those who are witnessing that, or those who are being affected by it, or those who are a victim of that oppression and that injustice and that wrongdoing? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا, that do not weaken or don't falter, وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا, and do not grieve, وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. So look, what is the outcome? So if we look at history, Allah says, the meaning is, look at history and look at what happened to those who caused corruption in the land, those who oppressed others and caused and spilled blood and so on and so forth. Allah destroyed them. And so what is the message for us? Those of us, once again, bring it into the modern, bring it into the context of 2024, when we've seen now 4 months of like really unimaginable atrocities being committed in Gaza, right? The message is, their outcome, leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? No injustice will go unpunished. And so Allah says for us, the message is, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا, do not let these losses that you have suffered, do not let them make you feel weak. Because what happens when we suffer a loss? We feel weak. And really, our scholars say the wahan deals is like the physical part. And so when we have wahan, we're like, we physically kind of like become stagnant. We're not able to move forward. And we've been seeing that happen, right? And we've been fighting that. We know what this feeling feels like. We're like, you know, I've been to protests, I've been to marches, I'm trying to do what I can do. I'm like putting things online, I'm spreading awareness, but like, what am I gonna do? I can't affect any change. Like, the bombing is not stopping, the atrocities are not stopping, like nothing's changing. And so what is when we begin to feel weak in the sense that we're like, there's no point. Like, what's the point? And so Allah says, وَلَتَهِنُ. Like, because you suffered loss, don't let that stop you from doing what you can do to affect change. وَلَتَحْزَنُ. And this is kind of the emotional or the psychological part, that psychologically, so that the wahan is physical, right? Like, physically, be strong. Do what you're capable of doing. And then take care of yourself emotionally and psychologically, because that is going to affect your behavior. So don't let that bring you down. Why? The outcome is وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ, that you will certainly have the upper hand. You will certainly be victorious, but it comes with a caveat. What's the caveat? إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. As long as you have iman. And that is why one of my teachers in particular said that around the 2024, like 2020s, is when it seems that Palestine will be free, inshallah. Now, what does this prediction come from? He said, if you look at the 80s, right, when you had the resistance, right? The resistance in the 80s, a lot of it was based off of nationalism, right? Arab nationalism and Palestine as a nation. And so the 80s comes from a generation that is now born and raised with Israel under control, or Israel's taking control, right? So you have a generation raised in that, right? So the 80s is when that happened. You look at about 40 years for a generation, so that's where 1940s to the 80s, that's one generation. So there's now, the 80s was the first generation of Palestinians that had been occupied and that had been colonized, right? And now their resistance movement came in the 80s. But there was a lot of nationalism, right? Now, one more generation is how many more years? About 40 years. Now, there's a second generation of Palestinians right now who have been born and raised in occupation and brutality. But where is their, how are they approaching their resistance? We all know the answer to this. We've all seen the videos. Look at the Palestinians right now. When anything happens, what do they say? Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. They say, Allah is sufficient for us. Allah is the protector. They're like, we don't care. The Arab nations have abandoned us. Doesn't matter. The people in power have abandoned us. Doesn't matter. The so-called moral nations of the world have abandoned us. It doesn't matter. Because we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hasbunallah. Allah is sufficient for us. Allah is the ultimate protector. And this is not just one video. This is video after video after video. Where does this come from? You know where this comes from? You don't just wake up and have that attitude in life. These children who are born in occupation, they have been given this tarbiyah from the moment that they're born. And so now this generation has been raised with this incredible amount of iman that now serves for us as motivation. Now we're looking at the people of Gaza, the people of Palestine, we're like, that's amazing that we get to see that and witness that. And that encourages us, like, we are learning from the people of Gaza because we know what they're dealing with. And we know that they are reliant 100% upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So that's why he said, look, the 80s, give it one more generation. You talk about 2020s, this is that time. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make that true. That it is soon, in the coming days, that we see Palestine be free. Ameen. But the point is, in kuntum mu'mineen. If you are believers, then have no doubt, this is the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you will be victorious, that you will have the upper hand, but it is only if you have iman. And this for us, my brothers and sisters, you know, whether we're looking at Gaza, whether we're looking at our Uyghur brothers and sisters, whether we're looking at what's happening in Sudan, whether we look at Kashmir, we look at our brothers and sisters in India, whatever part of the world, we understand it is part of our aqidah, it is part of our faith, that our reward is secure with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We just have to keep doing what we're doing. Our reward is secure with Allah. And this is why, like the people of Palestine, it's very interesting, subhanAllah, and the people of Gaza, if you look at what's happening right now, they know that the next moment of their life is not guaranteed. Right? And so you ask yourself, how and why do they continue? They continue because they know that their reward is with Allah. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. Right? We talk about this, right? But for a lot of us, it's not a reality. Right? We're living nice, comfy, cushy lives. And Allah protect all of you and preserve you and all of us. Ameen, Ya Rab. But for a lot of us, we don't know the reality of, you know, my brother-in-law, who's Palestinian, by the way, he was telling me this one thing. I've shared this before, so you might have heard this. He was telling me something that I couldn't even understand, right? He's like, he was telling me that in Gaza, when people hear like an explosion, that they get happy, right? So if we were to, may Allah protect us, hear an explosion, we freak out, right? We're like, what's going on? We get scared. But the people of Gaza, they get happy. Why do they get happy? Because they know they're still here. Can you imagine what that is like? That you hear an explosion, if you hear an explosion, you're like, I heard the explosion, and I'm still here, and my children are here, maybe the building I'm in is still intact, alhamdulillah. They get happy. Right? That's a very different way of looking at life. Right? And that means that their iman is at a level, they're like, look, I know that if I'm working for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that my reward is secure. It doesn't matter what the outcome is. The outcome is antum al-a'lawn. You will have the upper hand. We may see it in our lifetime, or we may see it in the afterlife. That is part of our aqidah. Right? And so sometimes we may lose hope because we're like, I'm not seeing results fast enough. Right? I'm not seeing, like, people are there, like, we see Israel continue to commit these atrocities, and like, when is the comeuppance? Like, when is it going to happen? And I've heard people say this, right? Like, I want to see the adab of Allah today. And I always tell them, Allah knows better when the adab of Allah should come. Because sometimes Allah delays people to increase them in their punishment. So don't always think that, you know, it has to come right now. We ask Allah to make it swift, to bring relief, absolutely. But if Allah decides otherwise, that is from Allah's wisdom. Right? We don't ask for that, but that's how we understand delay. Right? A very good example of this, those of you who've taken my Shaytan seminar, is the Shaytan. Because the Shaytan, who's like the worst guy ever, right? He asked Allah to delay his demise. Right? He said, delay my demise until the day of resurrection. And then in my class, I usually ask people, like, why didn't Allah just send him to hell right then? Like, go to hell. Right now. Immediately. Go right now. Why did that happen? Right? And there's wisdom. One of the wisdoms of that, because if Allah wanted to, as soon as Iblis disobeyed Allah, refused to prostrate, and he became arrogant, and actually Iblis, those of you who've taken that class, he blamed Allah for his own misguidance. Right? فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي, he says, oh Allah, by the error that you have put, like, you led me astray. He blames Allah, وَالْعِيَادُ مِنَّكَ. Can you imagine that type of arrogance? He's standing in front of Allah and he's blaming Allah for his own his own misguidance. He's saying, like, you led me astray. Like, I don't deserve to make sajda to Adam alayhi salam. Like, why didn't Allah send him to hell immediately? One of there's many wisdoms behind that issue. One of the wisdoms behind that issue is that Allah will not punish anyone unjustly. Even the worst people in the world, Allah will not punish anyone unjustly. People will get what they deserve. Right? Yawm al-Din, the day on which people will get what they deserve. And so if Iblis is going to be punished in the most severe way, he has to earn it. Right? How does he earn it? The longer he stays alive, the more sins he accumulates, the more he has to be taken to account for. And so that is why when we see an evil person, that sometimes, and you may have thought this yourself, like you know they say, like, the good die young, you have all heard this before? Yeah? And you're like, good people tend to die. Why is it like the worst people live the longest lives? You have like these dictators or whatever, and this dude just never dies. Like, what's going on? Like, he lives a long life, like, it's unfair. Well, it could be it's the dodge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It could be that Allah is delaying this person so that they accumulate more sins and they have more to be held to account for. And this is so for us, iman means understanding what antum al-a'lam means. That you will have the upper hand. And the punishment of the afterlife is nothing like the punishment of this life. And so, we may not, and I don't know how long my life is, I don't know how long your life is, we may not see in our life, the depending on how long we live, Palestine be free. But does that mean we lose hope? No, absolutely not. Does that mean we stop doing whatever we can do to establish justice upon earth? Absolutely not, because we know our reward is secure with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I know I'm like way over my time. I'm gonna go to one more ayah. You have time for one more ayah? Yeah. Okay. The next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِن يَمْسَسْكُمْ قَرْحٌ فَقَدْ مَسَّ الْقَوْمَ قَرْحٌ مِثْلُ. That if you have suffered some injuries, then there are people before you who have suffered injuries like that. Now, the specific context here is actually the Battle of Uhud. And so, those of you who studied some seerah, you know that the Battle of Uhud, Muslims suffered a lot of losses. They were feeling disheartened. And so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding them. So, once again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not weaken, do not falter, do not grieve. Antum al-a'lam, like you. Now, after Uhud, when the believers are feeling like, this is like a defeat, Allah is saying, antum al-a'lam, like you will be victorious. They can't see it right now, but Allah is saying, antum al-a'lam in kuntum mu'mineen, if you are true believers, you will have the upper hand. Maybe not today, maybe not now, and it depends on how you're looking at the upper hand, but you will have the upper hand. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as for the injuries that you have suffered right now, then know that those who came before you, they have suffered injuries as well. And so this is specifically the Battle of Uhud and the Battle of Badr. So even during the Battle of Badr, which was a victory for the believers, there were still those who suffered some injuries. But the larger, broader context now for us is that this is once again, this is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal will try us and test us, and we will suffer loss and injuries because this is the way of Allah. And all we have to do is look back. Look at the generations that came before us and look at what they have suffered. This is not something new from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah says, وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. These are the days that we alternate among people. And these alternation or this alternating is days of or times or moments of victory and moments of loss. Even in the last 1,500 years, if you look at Islamic history, you see this alternating of days. That there are times where Muslims had victories, and there are times that Muslims had losses. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to, every battle that a Muslim ever fought, we could have been victorious. But that is not the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That there are days when we are victorious, there are moments when we are victorious, and there are moments that we suffer losses as well. This is part of this life. And then, so, this is on a ummah level, And also on a personal level, this is true as well. So we're going to have days where we feel victorious. And we've had those days where everything seems to be going right. We had goals and aspirations, and we're seeing to meet our goals and aspirations. And then we have days and moments and times in our lives where things seem to be going wrong. And we have to ask ourselves, what is happening? When we look at the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah says, look at the people who came before you, we understand that that is what life is. There is no life in which we will not have ups and downs. But what happens in the down? What happens when things seem to be going not in our favor? We've made plans, and all those plans have fallen by the wayside. I know a lot of you are young right now, but I guarantee you that you're going to have ups and downs, regardless of what you're going through, regardless of what aspirations you have in life. Because, and I can make this guarantee because this is a guarantee of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the days that we alternate amongst human beings. Everyone has ups and downs, but do we have the proper perspective regarding what is happening? Why? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can reveal those who have faith. That is why we have ups and downs. So when times are good, how do we behave? Is our iman playing a role in our good times? And then when times are bad, is our iman playing a role in those difficult times, in those bad times? Because in both cases, our iman is challenged. Our faith is challenged. When things are going well for us, are we doing what we're supposed to be doing in the good time? Because it is in the good times, and by the way, the companions, they would often fear the good times more than the difficult times. Because in the good times, they would say, difficult times, we understand there's a test from Allah. Like, I'm going through a hardship, I know this is difficult, I know I'm being tested. But do we understand that we're being tested when things are going well? Like, what are we doing with the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us? For example, are we making the amount of shukr that we should be making during when things are going well? Right? That's also a testament that the companions would fear that. They would fear that, you know, things are going well. Am I aware, am I cognizant of the fact that I'm, even though things are going well, I'm still being tested. This is still a trial for me, whether it be wealth, whether it be family, whether it be health, all of those are tests and trials of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when things are going well, we may not realize that. And so this alternating days of good and bad and hardship and ease and so on and so forth, this is so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, so Allah can reveal those who have faith. And you know the Prophet ﷺ, he said, إِنَّمَا الصَّبْرُ عِنَّ صَدْمَةِ الْأُولَى. He said that patience, you know, patience is part of our iman. That patience is revealed at the onset of a calamity. And I can say, like, if you ask the average Muslim who's heard like a khutbah, even though I've heard khutbahs and talks on like patience, right? It's important to be patient. And you ask this person, are you a patient person? Most Muslims say, yeah, you know, I'm pretty patient. Especially if you're trying to get married, right? And you got those, you know, those forms you fill out, those 100 questions. Y'all know about the 100 questions, right? No. Your strengths and your weaknesses, right? And to me, like, those are the most useless things ever. Because nobody's going to, like, put, like, their real weaknesses on, like, one of those questionnaires, right? So what do you find on those questionnaires? What are your weaknesses? Well, yeah. I care too much, right? Like, I'm just too passionate about my salah. You know, like, that's what people say. But if you want to know the reality of a person, look at how they behave when, I'm sorry to do this, to quote the Joker in The Dark Knight, how do they act when the chips are down? Sorry, I'm showing my age again. Father. And no more comic references. I'm done. I just need to do one, and then I'm done. So it's done. It's over. But once again, when the calamity strikes, that is the test of our iman, right? And you look at the iman once again. People of Gaza, you look at them in their most vulnerable moments when the calamity. And we've all seen it, right? We've seen fresh wounds. We've seen limbs severed. and with their limbs severed, with blood gushing out of their bodies, as they're holding their children and their parents and their families in their hands, we look at how they react in those moments. So Allah can reveal the people of Iman. And we see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is revealing the people of Iman in Palestine, in Gaza. And so for us, we have to ask ourselves, what is happening to our Iman in these times? And then Allah says, وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَىٰ, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take from you. And this is amazing, the wording here. وَيَتَّخِذَ, to take from you, شُهَدَىٰ. Because the reality is that it's very hard to choose to be a shaheed. It's very hard to put yourself in a position and to say, I want to be a shaheed. And alhamdulillah, this is, for a lot of us, we're not in that position. The Sahaba had to sometimes make that choice. We're going out to battle, there's a good likelihood we're not going to return. We're not going to come back to our family. And so the word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses is وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَىٰ, to take amongst you shuhada, and Allah chooses for you. This honor Allah has given to the select people. That is why Allah alternates the days. That is why Allah brings about hardship, because this honor of a shaheed, this is something that Allah will reveal. And for those of us who are not in that position, we have to ask ourselves, when we see what is happening, do we have that desire, at least, to be a shaheed, to be amongst the martyrs? Because you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us that a person may die on their bed, ala firashi, on their bed, and Allah will give them manazil ash-shuhada. Allah will include this person amongst the manazil, ranks of the shuhada, of the martyrs. How? Why? Because the person in their heart, they had the desire. They said, I wish I had that honor. I wish Allah had put me in that position that I could defend my brothers and sisters. I wish I could be in that position where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could honor me. And so even though this person, and for, look, we're not in that position. But we have to ask ourselves, when we're looking up at our brothers and sisters in Palestine, and so on and so forth, that do we have that desire in our hearts to defend them? Even though we physically can't. We can't do that. But it is what is happening in our hearts right now. Wallahu la yuhibbu al-zalimeen, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and Allah does not love those, or Allah does not like those, Allah does not like the wrongdoers. This is once again clarification of those who are the oppressors. And by the way, during the battle of Uhud, these are two parties. There are, and I'll end with this, inshallah ta'ala, there was the mushrikun, who were clearly the zalimun or the zalimeen, they were the oppressors and wrongdoers. But then you had those amongst the ranks of the believers. Who were those people? The munafiqun, ahsant. Right? We know during the battle of Uhud that one third of the Muslim army turned around. The munafiqun, a third of the army turned around. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, look, here it is. This is clarity for you. Allah is purifying the ranks. And we find today in our ummah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is purifying the ranks. Have we not seen people's true faces? I want you to answer that. You know the answer to that. Right? We see what is happening today. And oftentimes we look at the leadership, right? And the mindset we fall into is to look at, you know, the Muslim countries and their leaders and say, like, you know, they're not helping Palestine. They're not helping our brothers and sisters, and fine, right? But I also want you to pay attention to the rest of the ummah, right? Not the people in power, but how is the ummah reacting? And alhamdulillah, there's glad tidings of that. Because we see that the ummah is with the people of Gaza. The masses, the people, are there in mind, in spirit, and they're all saying, we wish we could defend them. We wish we could be there with them. Anything we can do. So, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وأنتم الأعلون إن كنتم مؤمنين. هذا والله تعالى أعلم. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.